Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Quite a crazy day it is. North Korea confirming the successful testing of a miniaturized hydrogen bomb, being denied by the United States, South Korea, and others. Nevertheless, it's very worrisome that a lunatic like this even has nuclear weapons to begin with. And if we had a real leader, he would be focused on reining in the terrorists in North Korea, the terrorists in Syria and Iraq, and not trying to take away guns from law-abiding Americans. But that's an old story. The bottom line is we do not know. We really do not know whether he really has a hydrogen bomb. We do know this. A U.S. reconnaissance plane flew off of Okinawa Island 10 minutes before North Korea tested its alleged miniaturized hydrogen bomb on Sunday, according to Japanese media. And 10 minutes later, seismic stations registered underground tremors in North Korea caused by a nuclear explosion. Now, North Korea said it was a miniaturized hydrogen bomb. Our spy plane, the RC-135V, returned to base 6 hours later, according to Japanese authorities, adding that the U.S. spy plane had apparently been keeping an eye on North Korean territory. Well, what does this really mean? Well, I don't know what it means. However, South Korea, which is North Korea's archenemy, citing a source in the country's intelligence community, said that the underground explosion of under 6 kilotons of TNT was too slight to have been caused by a hydrogen device. Well, that doesn't reassure me. 6 kilotons can ruin your day, whether it's hydrogen or merely a atomic bomb. What's the difference when it's in the hands of a deranged maniac like Kim Jong, mentally ill's son, Kim Jong-un? And this is what happens when you have a lack of leadership in the world. U.S. officials, of course, don't believe North Korea actually tested a hydrogen bomb. Let's look at what we talked about yesterday on the Savage Nation. This is a new feature where I will do bullet points of the day before and open the show with them the day after, in case you missed any of the classroom experiences of the Savage Nation or the pure fun of it. One, we ask, does the sociopath in the White House feel the same about the First Amendment as he does about the Second Amendment? Does he feel that only a modest background check would be in order for anyone to speak out against the government? You know, after all, it's only a modest reining in of the First Amendment. Why not? Number two, Obama did not have crocodile tears for the Steinle family in San Francisco after an illegal alien shot her to death. Three, we reminded you that President Truman tried to take over a steel plant in the 1950s with an executive order, but he was stopped by the Supreme Court, which reminded President Truman that a president cannot make law. Apparently, Obama missed that while at Columbia Law School, and he missed that while practicing whatever he practices. I then pointed out that guns saved 20,000 Jews from the Nazi Holocaust. That is still up on michaelsavage.com. I also said that bullies make up a pretext to attack a smaller kid, just as Obama made up a pretext to attack the smaller kid, being the white, heterosexual, middle-class American gun owner. He said that you can't yell fire in a crowded theater. Well, he's right. But didn't he say that you can yell fire in a crowded White House and set the world on fire? He's the one who ought to look himself in the mirror. We then said that Obama goons can now declare you mentally unstable to prevent you from getting a gun. That's what was done in Russia in the past. Now, that is very worrisome, because that means that if you have PTSD or you're even a manic depressive, which is now known as bipolar disorder, your shrink has to report you to the FBI, and they could take your guns away. Be very careful here. This is not a slippery slope. This is an avalanche that he set off yesterday. Obama doesn't have the money to do background checks on the Syrian immigrants pouring into the Americas But now he has money to do background checks on legal gun owners. Where'd the money come from? I then said that Count Obamula drinks the blood of the Constitution one sip at a time. Those are some of the topics we talked about on the Savage Nation. We also said that the smart gun ship that Obama is talking about can potentially give the government the power to turn all guns off at one time with the press of a key on a computer. I then reminded you that this is the result of the Cultural Revolution that began in the 1960s. I also reminded you that if what Obama was doing with guns was as widely as accepted as he claims it is, it would not be as controversial as it really is. I then explained to you that these new rules will change the relationship with mental health practitioners. It may put them out of business, because who is to decide what is a mental illness? And here is the most shocking part of yesterday's show. Yesterday, Obama referenced communist China in his gun speech, using that as a model for gun control. And I asked you, is that the direction he's taking us in? The answer is, we'll have to wait and see. Here are some of the other headlines. I invite you to call the show at 855-400-7282. You're listening to the one and only Savage Nation, 855-400-SAVAGE. Obama's executive orders are longer and more restrictive than previous administrations. Here's a shocker. The ballet-dancing new Prime Minister of Canada, Trudeau, a total left-wing loser, said something that will amaze you. The ballet dancer Justin Trudeau has said that we will not bomb ISIS even if we are attacked. Instead, he is moving Canadian efforts towards training local forces and providing humanitarian aid in Syria and Iraq. In an interview with Global News, the left-wing ballet dancer Justin Trudeau said that he sees no reason to change this policy toward ISIS, and he went even further. He said even if Islamic terror attacked in Canada in a similar manner to the one in Paris on Canadian soil, he would not bomb ISIS anyway. In other words, he's become a surrender monkey. The Prime Minister of Canada, one of our best allies in history, has surrendered to Sharia law in advance without a shot being fired. Do you understand the danger we are in when you put liberals in high places? It gets even worse. But it's too early in the day for me to dump more on your plate than I have already done. Instead, I invite you to call on all of these incredible news stories. The phone number, again, if you missed it, is 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Believe me, there are other news stories, but I don't want to shock you in this election year. I wish the election were tomorrow, and Trump could just simply take over the next day. And speaking of Donald Trump, one of the most, I don't know how to put this, deranged authors in American history, successful, yes, very wealthy, yes, the writer of Crazy Stories, yes, Stephen King, said that Donald Trump is a carnival man, an entertainer, and a buffoon. It gets even uglier. Stephen King, the lunatic, said, Donald Trump's fans are, listen to this, white, scared, and angry. As though it is a crime to be white, Stephen King. Don't you love all these white liberals who are suddenly ashamed of their skin color and attack white people? How is this happening? Why do you even buy their books or go to their movies? I don't understand. He went on, by the way, the lunatic writer Stephen King, who is as mad as his worst characters. Stephen King went on. And he said, Trump will never be elected, not so long as minorities, liberals, and educated people vote. But he has certainly exposed the ugly underbelly of conservatives in America today. So let me ask you something. What do minorities, liberals, and educated people have in common? Can anyone put that together? Is it burning cities to the ground? I mean, what do they have in common? You mean if you're uneducated, you're a knuckle-dragging white, retrograde fool, you vote for Trump? Well, Stephen, I'm far more educated than you are. My books are better than yours are. I have a best-selling radio show, Stephen, and I vote for Donald Trump. I'd vote for Donald Trump in a minute. In fact, Donald Trump's going to be on the show very shortly. I don't mean today, in the very near future. But I think, Stephen King, what you've exposed is the ugly underbelly of deranged authors. Let's take a caller now, Jeff on WABC in New York. What a pleasure it is to have you, Jeff. What's on your mind?
Oh, thank you very much. As far as North Korea is concerned, I think it's a distraction. Communist China and Russia is what we should be looking at, because you see, they got tons of missiles. They're backing all these terrorist groups around the world directly and indirectly. What I see coming to this country is a global Tet offensive, a surgical strike by one of these major powers, and they will eat America's lunch, because we have had liberals and communists dismantle this country for decades.
All right, that's a reasonable fear. I don't share that fear with you, because I think that the vampire in the White House will be gone before they try us. Unless you fear that they'll try us while the vampire is still there, knowing he will be as weak in his response as is Trudeau of Canada, who has become a surrender monkey. I think that's what you're saying, is they're liable to strike while he's still in office, knowing he's a surrender monkey. Isn't that what you're saying?
Yes. Towards the end of 2016 would be the peak time. But then they can also wait till a Republican gets into office, because we
will... I'm sorry to cut you off, but you have to ask, why would North Korea even do a thing like this at this time? What's in their interest to scare the world? What is this maniac trying to do? That's the bigger question, and I'll tell you the answer. North Korea does nothing without the approval of the generals in China, in my estimation. North Korea is the junkyard dog of China. I'm sorry to be so cruel. I like Korean people, but this is not about Korean people. This is about a mad dog on a chain, a bulldog on a chain. Envision him as a mad dog in a junkyard that barks only when his master pokes him with a stick. So you have to ask yourself, why would China poke North Korea, the mad dog, and tell it to say it set off a hydrogen bomb? And I will connect it immediately to the collapse in the Chinese stock market and the fact that they have again manipulated their currency to keep dumping their garbage on the American people. Do you understand that there may be a relationship between the two?
Oh, yes. I think North Korea is a distraction myself.
I do too. It's China pulling, as I say, it's China who set off the nuclear bomb in North Korea, making believe they had nothing to do with it. That would be my guess. I have no link to intelligence communities, but that's how I read this picture.
Great minds think alike. I agree with you on that.
I mean, I'm just an American observer of events, cultural, social, political, medical, nutritional, botanical, canine, whatever. And in this sense, I have long thought North Korea does nothing without China telling them what to do. Because if China wanted to stop them, they could stop them yesterday. You know that. The people are starving to death in China, in North Korea. Where do you think most of their food comes from? Where does it how does it travel into North Korea? While this pig lives on pornography and booze, the people are starving to death. Many of them are eating straw. The man is a worldwide monster. He's committing genocide against his own people. And now he tells us he has the money to set off a nuclear bomb? How many tens of thousands of people could have been fed instead of setting off a bomb, no matter what it may have been? And where is Obama on this? Yesterday he was a big mouth on seizing weapons, step by step. Why did he have nothing to say about a hydrogen bomb today? Or a neutron bomb? We don't know what he set off. He certainly didn't set off a firecracker. It was 6 kilotons. And as I say, 6 kilotons can really ruin your day, whether it's hydrogen or atomic. The man must be stopped. I'll be back in a minute on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO. Chairman Mao Obama has made it a perfect world, and he's only seeking to make it a more perfect world. In fact, today, Chairman Mao Obama's goon squad in the EEOC, anyone who owns a business knows what the EEOC, it is a business-killing division of the federal government, and the EEOC today warned employers to protect Muslim rights and encourage victims to file complaints. In the aftermath of the San Bernardino Muslim terror attacks, the insane Obama administration has issued a new warning, not to Muslims to report anyone who looks suspicious in their community, but against anyone in business who are perceived to be, let us say, prejudiced against Muslim or Middle Eastern workers. They were warned that American businesses are to accommodate the religious needs of Muslims and assure that they aren't being harassed or intimidated, states the order, which was issued by the business-killing EEOC, the bloated federal agency, which acts as a sort of Gestapo for the Justice Department against businesses. And those businesses who do not oblige will be prosecuted by the Obama administration for violating federal law, specifically Title VII of the Civil Rights Act, which prohibits discrimination on the basis of religion. Now, I'm all for no discrimination against people, but this is not about discrimination. This is about discrimination against businesses for making a profit. Here are some other headlines on the Savage Nation. The UN may seek sanctions against North Korea over the nuclear tests. They took their time out from insider deals at the UN to say that they strongly condemn North Korea's new nuclear tests. Well, that will surely rein in the man with the long trench coat. Here's another one for those of you who don't know what's going on. According to Colonel Stephen Warren, ISIS fighters are trying to blend in with the civilian population as they are fleeing Syria. They're shaving their beards and trying to hide among the civilian population as the rats run out of Raqqa. Now that the rats are finally facing men with guns and they are no longer able to rape 8-year-old Yazidi girls, the rats are shaving their holy beards and trying to make believe that they're just civilians. Maybe Obama could bring a million of them in as poor refugees just looking to start a new life in a new land. Crazy times, huh? Hydrogen bombs, ISIS fighters shaving their beards, trying to blend in with the population, and Obama's biggest problem is the Second Amendment. It just shows you what happens when your optic chiasma is broken. Check it out. Look it up. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282, SAVAGE.
News. This is urgent. You know about the militia occupying a federal building in Oregon, right? Well, the Oath Keepers have issued an urgent warning for the militia that is occupying the federal building in Oregon to keep women and children away, claiming to have received a tip that military special ops assets have been assigned to the standoff by the Obama administration. Instead of assigning special ops to the thugs who burned down Ferguson or to the thugs who burned down Baltimore, Obama is assigning them to the situation in Oregon. Well, what would you expect? But the bigger issue to me is this issue of the Korean nuke, whether it's hydrogen or atomic or anything else. The trick is to understand why are they doing it now. Why would they set a bomb off now is the issue. Whether it's hydrogen or not is not the issue. The issue is what's in it for the North Koreans to even conduct a test. And you'd have to look to China for that answer. And you'll see that the Chinese stock market has been plummeting and they've had to rejuggle their currency. This is to threaten America in case we're thinking about fighting back with sanctions or tariffs. They're threatening us through their junkyard dog of North Korea. All right, Pat on KSFO, you're calling about the Korean bomb. What's your point?
With the North Koreans is what exactly they're doing. I strongly suspect that they're working on a miniaturization process. Right now, a 10-kiloton device with modern technology can be miniaturized down to 6 inches in diameter, 15 inches long, 10-kiloton device. So I think that's what's going on. That's the size of a big thermos, 6 inches by 15. So if they start producing these things, 6 inches by 15 inch devices, what are they going to do with them? And then secondly, think about the industrial base that it takes to do that. Now there's a pattern established of continual testing in North Korea. It costs about $20 million to build up one of these bombs, and probably that much more to test the darn thing. Where are they getting the industrial base to build these things and test them? And there's a constant, continual pattern of building and testing in North Korea. It's a huge concern.
Well, okay, you're a very knowledgeable man. You know far more about it than I do. But you asked the question for which you do have an answer. It's China, isn't it?
I strongly suspect that. That industrial base is coming from somewhere, and China is right next door. I think you're spot on with the junkyard dog analogy.
Okay, so now let me ask you, as a brilliant caller, do you agree with me that China is behind this nuclear test, and for the reasons I stated?
I strongly suspect that, and then I think you have to look over the hill and what they're going to do with these things. Once they have these 6-inch by 15-inch diameter 10 kiloton devices built up, what are they going to do with them? Are they going to hand them off to Iran? Are they going to hand them off to terrorists? There's a huge concern, there's a huge question on what's going on over there. And, you know, my concern is North Korea has already established a pattern. They have the industrial base, and they have a pattern of building and testing. So there is a plan, and more than likely China's behind it. I agree with you.
Well, why doesn't China rein them in? Why don't people go to China? They have the latent leverage to get the North Koreans to stop. And up until now, China hasn't been willing to do that. Why not? Why won't China intervene? It's because they're probably behind it. That's the only conclusion I can draw.
I agree.
Now, are you in the nuclear business?
I've done a lot of research on it. I work in the electronics business. So it's been kind of like a sideline research thing for me. I've listened to Bill Wattenberg over the years, and Bill Wattenberg has expressed the same thing.
Bill is a great guy. Bill is a great guy, very brilliant man on the local KGO, I think. But what is a miniaturized hydrogen bomb? What exactly is it that it can fit in a thermos? How do they make it so small?
It's the industrial base that's well established, unfortunately, by the United States, and through spies and industrial espionage, that technology was stolen from the United States. From there, it went to Russia, and the Chinese ultimately ended up with it. And unfortunately, the sad situation is it's our own technology that's looking back at us. So, you know,
what I remember is that an atomic bomb is based on fission, that is the breaking of an atom's nucleus into smaller particles. That releases neutrons and lots of energy that becomes an atomic explosion. But in comparison, a hydrogen bomb is about fusion, not fission. And in fusion, you fuse atomic nuclei together to combine into bigger ones. And as we all know, even from grade school, I learned this in the sixth grade, an H-bomb or a thermonuclear bomb contains a fission weapon inside, meaning an atomic bomb, as a trigger, but it has a two-stage reaction process. It's very complicated. How in the world can they put it into a thermos?
That's the quest that's been going on for years on end, to make these things smaller and to get them into missiles. And they can also dial the yield. They can dial the yield anywhere from 170 to 200 kilotons. I'm looking at some information on the internet right now. It's called the...
Well, let's put this in context. A kiloton is equal to what? What was the size of the bomb on Hiroshima, dropped on Hiroshima?
That was between a 12 and a 15 kiloton device. So,
all right, so the explosion in Korea yesterday was 6 kilotons. And so you're saying the one in Japan, dropped on Japan by the U.S., was bigger than that?
It was about twice that size. And then there was
I want people to understand how big these bombs get. In 1954, mind you, the U.S. conducted tests of the hydrogen bomb in the Bikini Atoll in the Marshall Islands, and it produced an explosion to be up to 1,000 times more powerful than that of the atomic bomb that destroyed Hiroshima. And it was known as a Bravo bomb, and it yielded 15 megatons, or 15 million tons of TNT, and it was the largest bomb ever exploded by the United States. But that's not the largest bomb ever exploded. The largest ever H-bomb, known as the Tsar Bomba, was detonated by the then Soviet Union in 1961 with a yield of 50 megatons. Now, 50 megatons can take out the entire East Coast.
And that was the scaled-down version of a 100-megaton bomb that they actually envisioned.
Bill, you see, they were being liberal about it. They didn't want to take out the whole nation, only half of it.
They wanted to they never weaponized that thing. That thing was huge. I've seen pictures of it. But again, my concern is the miniaturization process that's taken place over the last 40, 50 years. It's extremely scary. These things, you can get two or three of them now in a good sized bag, 6 inches by 15 inches.
Sure, they could ship it over in a shipment of kimchi next time into Oakland here in the San Francisco Bay. Look, this is a crazy day in American history. And what's even crazier is that we have a president who, instead of taking on the big issues, focuses only on the very narrow agenda of the radical left. That's really the issue here. And I think that the maniacs, like those who run North Korea, see weakness and a sort of, I want to call it myopia, I would call it madness on the part of Obama, where they know they can get away with this without any ramifications. What would you do today if you were Barack Obama in light of this test, whether it be hydrogen or atomic? What would you be saying? Wouldn't you say something?
You know, I can't put myself in his position because I think the man is extremely and incredibly naive. He's not the wizard of smart. And he's been given credit for that by the willing accomplices and the liberal media time and time again. I think we have somebody that's in the Oval Office right now that's unfortunately extremely ignorant of world affairs. Look what's going on in the Middle East with the Arab Spring. That was a huge disaster. And that's one of the reasons why the Russians are in Syria right now.
Well, you know your stuff, and I'm very proud to have you as a listener on KSFO, my home station, really, here in San Francisco. I mean, I consider all my stations my home station in a way, but I did start here in this city, and I have a huge fan base here. I want to send you a copy of Government Zero for one reason only. It's as pertinent today, if not more so, than it was last fall. Stay on the line, and we'll send you that copy. What is China really doing here? That's what I want the listeners to think about. Why do you think China, because I still think it's China pulling the strings on this nuclear test. I have to assume that, because North Korea is a client state of China. Why would China want North Korea to set off the jitters around the world? Remember, it's not just us. France, Britain, Russia, even China today said, oh boy, this is bad. Why would they send jitters around the world today, given the precarious state of the world, given the precarious financial state of the world? Why would China want to do this today is the primary question that we should be discussing, I believe. Joe in New York City on WABC, what's your idea on this?
Michael, I'd like to throw something else into your suspicion. I read a piece a few weeks ago that possibly Taiwan might be taken over by China. China wants Taiwan as Putin took over Crimea, and that would create a lot of mess. They're in the South China Sea already, building up those islands. The Taiwanese have requested military aid from the Obama administration. They haven't given it. So
of
what
course
do you think
not.
About that one?
Obama would capitulate in 1 second if China invaded Taiwan. They have backed none of our allies. In fact, he stabbed our allies in the back. Look what he's done to Israel. He has backed Iran, the archenemy of Israel. So why wouldn't he back China, the archenemy of Taiwan? You know, to China, Taiwan is just a renegade piece of land. You know that.
Right, exactly. That's where the Chinese...
I don't know if people even understand what Taiwan is and when Taiwan became the industrial giant that it actually is. Long before China reemerged, Taiwan did, because it was based upon free market. You know that.
But Chiang Kai-shek had to escape from Mao Zedong in the revolution there in the 40s.
You know exactly right. So to them, Chiang Kai-shek was just a revolutionary who stole land from the motherland of China. They consider it a renegade province that they're going to retake. And I don't think Obama would stop them, frankly, and they probably know it. So perhaps this is a prelude. In other words, it's a shot across the bow, so to speak, of an invasion of Taiwan. Isn't that what you're implying?
Absolutely, and this could be an emergency for Obama also to maybe extend. I think his tears, his crocodile tears that you talked about, might be tears that he fears that he has to leave this powerful office, and any kind of world traumatic experience that could happen could keep him in.
I saw the tears not as tears. He was taking such pleasure in sticking it to the American middle class again. The man got his rocks off in plain English, doing what he did yesterday. There was no need, nor reason, nor rhyme to taking on the Second Amendment yesterday. There was no political gain to be had. He already owns the radical left in this country. The Hillary voters already will vote for her. He did this strictly to spite the middle-class gun owner in America. That's what he did it for, and that's why he cried. He had such pleasure from taking another shot at the demographic he has such a hatred for. I'm sorry to say it that way, but you know what? Sometimes the truth is what it is. This man has a lot of malice in him towards a specific demographic in the United States of America. I don't have to spell it out for you, do I?
That's a good insight, observation about his intent.
Yeah, it's based upon an enmity towards a certain demographic. Here's another little headline for you if you don't have enough for today. You got to listen to the language, and I'll get back to it in a minute. This is what they're writing from Reuters and AP. Germany pledges to act after mass sexual attacks on women on New Year's Eve. They're not saying Muslim. They're saying a drunken mob of men. A drunken mob of men encircled the victims during the New Year's Eve celebrations in the center of Germany's fourth largest city near the Cologne Cathedral. There were rapes, molestations, 90 women were molested, and the most that the Reuters news folks can say is the drunken mob of men, as though they were Germans, but they weren't. It was a mob of Merkel's refugees, the Muslim men that she has invited in, the African men she has invited in, the million people that she's invited in are now raping with impunity, and they're thinking that any German woman is fair game because they're considered to be sluts from their sacred point of view. Now, I got to tell you something, which I want to elaborate on at another time, maybe not today. I woke up in the middle of the night in the middle of a rainstorm, pounding, and I had a very clear vision. Hillary Clinton is the American Merkel. She will do to this country what Merkel is doing to Germany, which would be the end of America forever. I'll be back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO. I don't know. All the music is irrelevant now. There's no joy left even in my world. There's no joy in my radio show because there's no joy in the world. The joy has been sucked out of the world by the vampire. The vampire who shed crocodile tears yesterday has sucked the joy out of the whole world. Yeah, you can blame him for everything that's going on if you don't mind. From the Arab Spring to the hydrogen bomb. Yep, that's what happens when you have a vacuum. You know, they say nature abhors a vacuum. Well, we sure have a vacuum inside the White House, don't we? What we need is a vacuum cleaner. Okay, WJR, Greg, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind? Listen, please don't use that phrase with me. I'm not a talk show host who needs that. And the only great Americans are those serving in active duty in the military on the front lines. Please go on.
So I don't think that they're really pushing North Korea. I just think the little fat boy's a loose cannon.
You think he's a loose cannon, but then why would he do this now?
Yeah, that's, you know, that is a good question. I really don't know.
Even a fat boy who's a loose cannon has some degree of reason. Let's say it's not an H-bomb. Why would he even do this? What's he trying to do? What is he doing it for? No, I'm sorry, it's China pulling the strings. China is the owner of the junkyard dog called North Korea. They growl when China provokes them to.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Savage.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
China and the President Obama on the road, the long march, the long march. He's only just begun. He's a young man, after all. Now, we've talked about the nuclear test by North Korea. Whether it's an H-bomb or not doesn't matter. My position is that they do nothing without China's approval. They're a client state of China. They wouldn't exist very long without them. So we have to ask ourselves, as we've done, what is China doing by doing this? And to me, it's because the economic collapse in China that seems to be on the horizon is the thing that they want us to ignore. And they want to threaten us, by the way, that if we're thinking of sanctions against China, or more specifically, as I have called for, I wouldn't say a trade embargo, but I strongly believe that there should be tariffs on Chinese goods, as I've pointed out in my last two important books. We're one of the only countries on earth that does not put tariffs on foreign goods, whether you know it or not. If you're an American manufacturer, go try to export your product and see what happens with the wonderful countries that we're trading with. But anyway, that's an issue for Donald Trump to work out, not me. So those are some of the topics we've talked about. They're the big ones. The bomb is a big issue. The issue of the Second Amendment with Obama chipping away at it when there's no need for him to have done that. I'm baffled by why he would do this. I have no idea why he would do this right now. It has no effect immediately. It was simply, I think, to spite a certain demographic in America. That's what it is. Now, there's an issue I generally don't discuss, and that's gay issues. You know, they say that for many years, the right wing was basically driven by God, guns, and gays, right? Remember that used to be said in the 90s? Well, we talk about God, we talk about guns, and I don't talk about the gay issues because I'm a sexual libertarian. I have been for years. I've made myself very clear on the issue. And on that, I'm a Rabelaisian, meaning do as you will as long as it's legal and children are not involved. That's what I really believe. But there are two gay stories that need to be talked about right now. This just happened. Gay marriage challenge. Alabama judge defies the U.S. Supreme Court, and he ordered a halt to same-sex licenses in Alabama. Alabama's top justice ordered the state probate judges not to give out same-sex marriage licenses despite the landmark U.S. Supreme Court ruling legalizing homosexual marriage last year. Now, there's a story related to it on Fox News, by the way, and this is very troublesome. It is coercion, in my opinion. Social agenda victim, they ask. A top doctor at one of the greatest hospitals in America, a urologist who has spent years of his life giving away free services in Africa, was fired because he would not endorse the LGBT agenda. A prominent Boston doctor and Harvard Medical School professor says a prestigious hospital canned him because he refused to endorse the LGBT lifestyle, which he believes is dangerous and unhealthy. Dr. Paul Church clashed with officials at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center for years over the issue. He bitterly opposed the hospital's policy of promoting such events as Gay Pride Week and, quote, LGBT Achievement Award ceremonies. He said that the hospital's stance ignored overwhelming evidence that practices common in the LGBT increased the risk of disease and mental illness, according to Church, who is a Cornell-trained urologist who worked at the hospital for 28 years. Here's what he said. They chose a social agenda that they wanted to promote, said Dr. Church, who likened a hospital holding a gay pride event to the same institution organizing an event to promote cigarette smoking. Church, age 66, ran out of options last month when the hospital's 25-member medical executive committee voted to throw him out. Can you believe this? The hospital said in a statement to Fox News that Church's behavior was, quote, inconsistent with BIDMC's established standards of professional conduct. Now, I won't get into the details of this, but what does this tell you about the LGBT community, that they'd be so intolerant? You know, that's what it comes down to. You know, tolerance is a two-way street. You can't ask the entire world to endorse your view of the world without giving something in return. And the fact of the matter is, whether you agree or disagree with Dr. Church or with the LGBT point of view, there has to be a compromise in a pluralistic nation, in my opinion. The doctor may be right, the doctor may be wrong, but you don't take a great doctor like this, who has devoted 28 years of his life, who has devoted many years of his life to giving away free services to poor Africans, and throw him in the gutter simply because you don't like his politics. That's my opinion. Dr. Church pointed to his long career and compassionate and respectful care of dozens of patients who self-identify as members of the LGBT community. He said that at least one of his gay patients even wrote a letter on his behalf during the investigation. You hear this? This is frightening to me. This is right out of Mao Zedong's China. This is right out of communist Russia. Communist China. This is the kind of fascism that should not be coming from a minority community. In the end, we will all suffer as a result of it. This is a good doctor, and he just expressed his viewpoints. He didn't hurt anybody. That's my opinion, and I'd rather not even get into the subject, but I thought that we have to cover it because there are two big gay issues right now in the news. I'd rather talk about, frankly, the hydrogen factor, the terror of ISIS, the fact that federal prisons are now a breeding ground for terrorists because they encourage radical Islam. Inside our federal prisons, many inmates are being converted to radical Islam in our own prisons with tax dollars. It gets worse. Right? It is worse than you can imagine. Here's another little story for you if you're feeling good. Hold on if you're feeling good. Don't feel good for too long. Are you ready for this? As Obama tries to disarm us, he floods us with Muslim men at the border. Military-age men are being apprehended at San Diego's southern border by the Border Patrol. Several dozen Pakistani and Afghan men entered the U.S. illegally, coming into San Diego from Tijuana, and two of them were found to have ties to terrorist groups, according to a letter sent by U.S. Rep. Duncan Hunter to the so-called Department of Homeland Security. Muhammad Azim and Mukhtar Ahmad, both in their 20s, surrendered to U.S. Border Patrol agents in September. One of them happened to have been listed on the terrorist screening database for associations with a known or suspected terrorist. The other was a positive match for a derogatory information in an alternative database, according to Congressman Hunter. Well, I would think that the White House has to act immediately and bring these two brave men into the White House and put them in charge of diversity training in the federal government. There's no reason that the crackers at the border had any right to detain them, even though they're on a so-called watch list. That would be the liberal, tolerant solution. Now it is time for some calls. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. Let's take the calls. Julie, on the internet. Julie, you're on the Savage Nation. What's the topic?
Yeah, it's China. Keep an eye on the atolls. That's what they want. That's what they need. It's full of natural resources, oil, natural gas. They need it to drive their economy. And while everybody's looking at North Korea, they just continue to militarize those islands, which have, you know, four or five different countries that have legitimate claim to them. And they're driving everybody out, and it's a nightmare.
Well, it's not the atolls themselves. It's the fact that they're using the atolls as aircraft carriers once they turn them into landing strips and put some military installations on them. And they want to drill in the South China Sea for oil. I think that's what you're saying, right?
Well, yeah. Those atolls are just surrounded by just tons of natural resources that they
Right. But the coral atolls themselves are not what they want. They're using them as staging bases for their military, right?
Yeah.
Gee, I wonder where all of the environmentalists are about the degradation of the coral atolls. You know, there used to be a big, big outcry about the destruction of coral atolls, and for good purposes. I myself am a very stringent conservationist, and atolls are very, very fragile ecosystems. But you would think that the Sierra Club would be saying something about China decimating the coral atolls in the South China Sea, but we haven't heard one word from the so-called Sierra Club, have we?
Oh, no. There are other chitauri.
No. You know why? Because in the Sierra Club, they have their heads in the clouds, not on the earth. Julie, where are you calling from? What state?
Connecticut.
Connecticut. You're listening to me on the internet. You mean you don't get the strong, powerful 50,000-watt flamethrower signal out of New York City from WABC?
Sometimes, but not today.
we'll have to fix that, Julie. I'm sending you a copy of my best-selling book, Government Zero. More important today than it was in December. Phone number opens up one line, 855-407-282. Let's go to Florida now on WFTL in Fort Lauderdale. Adam, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hi. I just wanted to let you know that this is, I think, an attack on free thinking from the current Obama regime, because if it doesn't align with their point of view, they shoot you down and they have nothing to do with you but to discredit
you. Well, what are you, you're talking about the doctor fired at the Boston hospital?
Yes. It's like no one has a right to an opinion anymore if it doesn't align with their own political agenda.
Well, what they found was an email that Dr. Church wrote, which he said evidence proves, the evidence he's going to present is irrefutable, that quote, and I'm quoting now, he said this. He said, behaviors common within the homosexual community are unhealthy and high risk for a host of serious medical consequences, including, he wrote, STDs, HIV and AIDS, anal cancer, hepatitis, parasitic intestinal infections, and psychiatric disorders, his email said. He went on. He said, life expectancy is significantly decreased as a result of HIV, AIDS, complications from the other health problems, and, quote, suicide. And so the fact of the matter is that offended an awful lot of people.
Wow.
And here's the real kicker. Are you ready for this? Some members of the hospital staff who had him fired were offended by Dr. Church's remarks, some of which cited Bible verses. And that's when an investigation into this great doctor was conducted. It's because of his church and Bible relationships. The fact of the matter is he's fired. And he'll probably never get his job back. He is being defended by a lawyer at the Liberty Council, who even says, he himself says Church is out of options to get his job back with this hospital, but the ruling does not prevent him from practicing medicine. Well, that's good to know. Now maybe the state of Massachusetts can work on revoking his license for expressing an opinion that doesn't comply with their own. Thank you for the call, my friends. 855-47282 is the phone number that opens up one line. Any topic is fair game. We'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO.
I believe in the Second Amendment. It's there written on the paper.
The paper.
It guarantees a right to bear arms.
The paper.
No matter
how
many times people try to twist my words around, I talk constitutional law. I know a little bit about
this. Oh, you're a real genius. Yeah, you know a bit, about it. That's true. All right, you got the whole story. He knows a bit about constitutional law. That's true. He knows enough to how to get around it. Did you hear his reference? He says, I believe in the Second Amendment. It is there written on the paper. He didn't say in the Constitution, he said on the paper. Like it's a scrap of paper written by some deceased men that has no relevance to the great one. It's unbelievable to me. Meanwhile, the Dow is down more than 250 points amid China economy worries and North Korea bomb claim. That's all. That's the real story, that the vacuum created in the power structure of the world by Mr. Obama has enabled China to poke the junkyard dog North Korea into setting off a bit of their fireworks in an underground test to scare us in case we want to retaliate in any way against their economic, the rigging of the economic system, whether it's reevaluating the yuan, which they did 2 days ago, by the way, or ginning up the stock market. By the way, the entire Chinese stock market, China stock market, is rigged. It's fake, incidentally. I don't know which stock market isn't fake, but that one is especially fake and shaky. And I don't know how much they can rig it, you know, rig it up there to make it look like it's still good, but people are going to be bailing out of China in these foreign investment funds and whatnot. I'm glad I'm not in it. I don't have a dime in stock myself. That's why you never hear me touting any stock or pushing any companies. I'm not invested in anything. I'm unlike the liberals who are. Liberals like George Soros, who pretends to be in love with green things and the environment. He drove coal stocks down to near $1 a share, and then he went in and bought some of the all the coal companies in the United States of America, as many as he could. You don't know anything about that. It shows you what liars the left, the really powerful billionaire left, really are. George Soros drove coal out of America as fast as he could, drove Peabody Coal and other stocks down to about $1 a share, and then he swooped in and bought up the companies, let us say, at 1 cent on the dollar. And now he's in the coal business. The same way Al Gore's father was in the coal business. You don't know that about old Al Gore, do you? But I remember these things. Al Gore's father, then Senator Al Gore, may God rest his soul, when he retired from the Senate, went to work for Armand Hammer in the Occidental Petroleum Company. And he made Al Gore Sr. the president of the Occidental Coal Company. You don't know that. Al Gore's entire inheritance was built upon shares in the Occidental Coal Company. And then he pretends to be Mr. Environment, okay? So look, there's a lot of hypocrisy in this country on all levels, on both sides of the aisle. So let's not suddenly put the left on a pedestal and say that they're all driven strictly by an agenda to purify the earth and purify society. It's rubbish. And the whole reason that they, well, it's a long story. I don't want to go into it. Yeah, I've done it for too many years for me to repeat myself. Makes me bored of myself, and I can't afford to become bored of myself, and I won't do that. So we got the H-bomb. We have not a word from Barack Obama, who had a big, big statement to make yesterday about the Second Amendment. Nothing, not a word. Not a word today. You'd think the leader of the free world would say something to calm the jitters, but apparently he said everything he wanted to say yesterday when he attacked the Second Amendment. After all, he's an expert on the Constitution. He knows something about it. He knows a bit about it. I'm glad he wants to reduce gun violence. I really am. I really would hope he would reduce hydrogen bomb violence and ISIS violence and the rape of young girls in the Middle East. Not one word from him or any other community about the rape of young girls in the Middle East by Islamic State.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
So, my intuitive answer to the Korean situation is, I said, it's China pulling their strings, the junkyard dog of China. They could stop them. And I just learned, to my satisfaction, that Trump said almost the same thing this morning on Fox News, which I didn't hear. He said that China should take the lead in tackling North Korea after the nation of North Korea alarmed the world by saying it successfully tested a hydrogen bomb. Trump said on Fox News, China has total control and China should solve that problem. And if they don't solve the problem, we should make trade very difficult for China. He's basically reading from the same prayer book as I am. It's the prayer book I wrote, called Stop the Coming Civil War, and the second addendum to it called Government Zero. And I want to talk about that for 1 minute. I want to read you a paragraph and see what you think about it. I ask this question on page 2, and it's as fresh today as it was on the day I wrote it a year ago. Why would any government bring in unvetted Muslim immigrants at a time like this? It would seem that only an insane prince would do this to his country. But Obama is not insane. He's stoned. He's stoned on the orthodoxy of the progressive left. Obama and his supporters are drunk on their ideology. They think that they're going to create a progressive utopia by continuing their attack on all Western values. This is precisely how great civilizations of the past declined and eventually fell. They rejected the values that made them great and degenerated into narcissism and selfishness. They kept on partying until they were too weak to defend themselves. Then the unthinkable happened. They fell. And then I go on to a closer at home. We are similarly paralyzed as this most evil of administrations swings its sledgehammers at our most revered institutions. A climate of fear grips the people as the sneaks in high places spy on us, sell us out to Red China in a secret trade deal, decimate our medical system, eviscerate our military leadership, evaporate our borders, erase our culture, and attack religion's basic tenets. Meanwhile, millions of illegal aliens pour over our southern border, bringing with them an unwillingness to assimilate into American culture, refusing even to speak English. This is what I call government zero. We are supposed to be a nation where the government is of the people, by the people, and for the people. Yet every poll shows this rogue government of sneaks and traitors seems to relish doing the opposite of the will of the people. It is a government of itself, by itself, and for itself, run by lobbyists. In short, government zero means absolute unchecked government power and zero representation of the people. It does not exist to promote conservative or liberal principles. It is not pro-immigration or anti-immigration. It is not capitalist or socialist. It is not religious or atheist. These are all just means to its end. Its end is its own preservation and growth. This is by no means a new concept. Most governments throughout history have exploited those they ruled for the benefit of those who controlled them. Before the birth of the American Republic, government zero was the rule, not the exception. I can go on, but I needed to relay the groundwork for the basic tenets of this program, because for the year 2016, as we head into a presidential election, I feel that as the driver of this bus or the pilot of this plane, you ought to know where I come from and where I'm heading. And that's where I come from, and that's where I'm heading. Now it's time for you to speak out on the Savage Nation. Let's go to some of the callers around the country and around the state. KUGN, Jerry in Eugene, Oregon. Go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
I agree with what Mr. Trump said. It is China who's going to rein them in. However, I believe that the funding for the North Koreans is coming from Iran. Iran has the disposition to destroy America, and they don't care if they're destroyed. Unlike the Chinese, who are worried about being destroyed by nuclear weapons. You know, mutually assured destruction is something the Russians, the Chinese, and the Americans understand, and that is, if there's a nuclear war, everyone loses. And the Iranians could care less if they lose, and so could the Koreans. So that's why...
So you're saying the Iranians, who are obsessed with the same insanity as ISIS, which is to want to bring about the destruction of the world so they can usher in their insanity, their religious insanity. They actually believe we need the world to be blown up for this Mahdi to arrive, whatever the Mahdi is. It's the equivalent of the return of the Messiah to them. And it can only happen after the world blows up. That's what you're referring to, correct?
Correct. And if they use North Korea as their surrogate to accomplish it, then, you know, they are accomplishing, you know, their...
Why is the United States under Barack Obama backing Iran in the showdown with Saudi Arabia? Saudi Arabia has been our ally for years, even though it's been quite a strange relationship, given that almost all the hijackers on 9/11/2001 were from Saudi Arabia, given that the Wahhabi sect of Islam comes out of the Arabian desert. Nevertheless, Saudi Arabia has sort of been our ally in a fight against ISIS in particular. Why is Obama not backing Saudi Arabia but backing Iran in this showdown?
The Iranians and most of the Muslims have found it almost impossible to deal with Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State and the Obama administration. They treat them very poorly, while the Iranians open the door to the State Department and the various folks in the Obama administration. Hillary Clinton was not even ever invited back to another Muslim country after her first visit because she was so insulting. But the Iranians were more than happy to talk to our State Department, and the Obama administration, you know, would love to align himself with the Shias of the world rather than the Sunnis of the world.
Well, why is that when the Sunnis are the dominant majority?
I can't answer that, but I do know that he has never been particularly fond of the Sunni countries.
I know many people are dying to call a show and say Valerie Jarrett, who is of Iranian descent, she's sort of their man in Havana, to use a 1950s Graham Greene analogy. Many people think that she is the Iranian plant in the White House who is secretly dictating most of our foreign policy. Would you agree with that?
I don't know her. I do know there's more Muslim advisors in the White House than all the previous administrations combined, and that's very telling.
Well, there may not only be Muslim advisors, but they could be Muslim advisors advising Muslim leaders. There may be, how many stealth Muslims do you think there are in the leadership in this country? I keep reading about rumors. We don't know whether they're wild internet rumors or not. That a good percentage of those in leadership in this country have converted to Islam. Have you read any of that stuff, that conspiracy stuff?
No, and conspiracies go only certain so far with me, because you can come up with conspiracies with almost...
See, my position is I don't care if they're Islamic in Oregon, in religion. It doesn't matter to me. What matters is, what are they, as Americans, where does their loyalty lie? Their religion doesn't matter to me. It's their loyalty and whether or not they're going to be acting in the best interests of America that matters to me. Perhaps they think that aligning with Iran is in the best interests of America as opposed to aligning us with Saudi Arabia. Maybe that's what they think. Maybe they think in the long haul Iran is a better ally.
I lived in Muslim countries for 12 years of my adult life doing government service. And I found 99% of the Muslim people that I dealt with to be as good as the best American Christian. They are absolutely against the principles of ISIS and what they stand for, and they are as afraid of ISIS as we are.
I agree. I think you've heard, I think, let's pause for a moment. Have you heard me express similar sentiments on this show? That I've said the average Muslim is more afraid of ISIS than the non-Muslim is, because they're the ones who've suffered the most. That's not going so far as to say that I trust the entire Islamic thing. I don't, because I think that a good portion of it has changed. In other words, when I spent years in the Fiji Islands, I had Muslim friends. I had Hindu friends. I had Christian friends. And the Muslim friends I had were never, ever espousing any of this stuff, because it had not yet invaded their mosques. It now has permeated many mosques around the world. It's a different world than it was 20 or 30 years ago. That is the Islamic world.
I agree, and that's why so many of the Muslims are afraid of that movement, because they don't want the world to go that way. One last thing. Being from Oregon, I heard the comment someone thought that soft guys were going to go into, you know, the remote wilderness area of Oregon and take action. The FBI would never allow soft guys to go in, because the FBI teams are as well trained and as well equipped, and they're the ones responsible, not the soft guys. And the soft guys.
So you don't think that special ops are going to go in, and that's why the promise keepers, the oath keepers, told them to get the women and children out of Oregon?
Think soft is going to go in there? Absolutely not.
So you're an ex-government employee living up in Eugene, Oregon. I can tell by your sentiments that you're rather middle of the road politically. Isn't that true?
No, I'm very right wing, but I'm fairly worldly.
I'm trying to see. No, because I thought your sentiments were pretty clearly down the middle and very rational, by the way. You're a very sober gentleman, and it's always a pleasure to hear voices of sobriety on the airwaves. Let me send you a gift, Government Zero. I think you'll enjoy it. I'll be back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. I can't believe 2 hours have flown by like this. It's been a very long day for me. I mean, I was up at 6:30 in the morning, and last night was a storm out here on the West Coast, and I live right near the water, and I got to tell you something. Living near the water, living near San Francisco Bay, is a pleasure most of the time, but when there's a storm, it's a little intimidating when the waves are crashing 15 feet from your bed, and you start to remember Noah's Ark, and you realize your house can't float. But it's one of those nights, you know, it leads to wild dreams, that's all I can say. But let's get back to politics. I know many stations, most of my stations, stay on for the third hour. I lose only a few. I lose a few stations, and people are very depressed that they have to leave me. But, hey, third hour, I have KSFO in San Fran, KLIF in Dallas, FNC in Raleigh, DRC in Hartford, FTL in West Palm, KBET in Las Vegas, BOB in Jacksonville, GDJ in Albany, FTW Mobile, VLK in Lexington. I know these don't mean anything to you, but I'm a call letter freak. I love them because I grew up with radio call letters. VNN in Huntsville and KUGN in Eugene, Oregon. These are some of the top affiliates for the third hour that we have. So it's a huge audience with a whole hour for us to deal with on this program. Let's go to one caller right now on line number three, and that's in Washington, D.C., where the show is doing so well that it may be considered a crime. My ratings are so high on WMAL as a talk show that it could be eventually criminalized to have such high ratings in such a liberal city. John, on WMAL in Washington, what's on your mind?
Yeah, Obama's news conference yesterday and his illegal executive orders on guns, the real agenda behind this is to set up a campaign issue for the fall with which to defeat Republican candidates.
These people hold on. I tell you why I don't agree with you. They already own the anti-gun nuts. Why would this appeal to the anti-gun nuts anymore? He already owns them.
It's the soccer moms. They're not gun nuts. There's anxiety, growing anxiety about guns and safety of kids in schools and all that.
Oh, so in other words, the soccer moms with kids in school who might vote for Trump, he's thinking that this would scare them away, the gun violence issue?
They believe it. They're making it.
You know something? You may have a point there, because ultimately he's only a community organizer, and that's all he's interested in, is getting out the vote for the far left. So he's working for Hillary as we suspect. Very good point. I think it's a keen analysis. I do. I'm sending you Government Zero for being so smart, because it's a book for smart people. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. WABC in New York. Robert, before you leave us in New York, which I've got to visit very soon again. Robert, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Good afternoon. North Korea, the saber rattling, probably encouraged by China. Every time they have a poor crop yield, they need food, medicine, and oil. They do it every time. And they figure if they rattle in the Asian area, they look at South Korea, Japan, New Zealand, Australia, Indonesia to provide. I think China wants to cut ties because of the drain on the economy now that China is building aircraft, building cars. Also, you got to remember, the Chinese, 30 years ago, pushing oxen in a rice field lashed to a wooden plow. Today, Rolexes, Maseratis, Italian shoes. You see where it's going? The Chinese, once they got a touch of comfort, they don't need North Korea no more.
Well, what do they need North Korea for at all? I mean, North Korea doesn't produce the food and medicine that you say they need. So what do you mean they're using North Korea for food and medicine?
Surrogate army, you know, to threaten all of Asia.
Okay, so they're the junkyard dog that I said they are. So they're their mad dog that they let out and go growl and bark at everyone. What, you think they're going to get free food for that?
Yeah, well, listen, in the past they did, but no more. But you got to remember this. If the hierarchy, you know, with the workers' people, you know, and the Communist Party in North Korea, if they ain't got food for that big army that they got, that big army is going to turn on them. It just might be a military coup.
That's interesting, Robert. I do hear you on that, and you've said so many things that are worth relating to. I mean, if we were in a cafe, I could talk with you for half an hour right now, at least, on many of the things that you said about China. One of the things that sticks in my mind is how they've basically been corrupted in one generation by capitalism, which is a good thing. I think that's a great thing that they've gone from pushing a plow to driving a Bentley in one generation. I like that, because now they're corrupted. They like the luxury items. The problem is when you have a billion people who want luxury items, there's no economy on earth that can keep churning out an increase year in and year out to provide those luxury goods for those people. It has to come to an end at some point, doesn't it?
Well, you know what? It does if they begin to isolate and if the international community goes and crashes down on China, but it's not going to happen. They're so entrenched into the global market today. We're going to do everything we can to, you know, keep China afloat. But the deal is
good. All I can say is I like reading that Bentley is one of the biggest selling cars in China. I mean, the biggest market for Bentley is China. I like that. That's a good thing. It's better that they're driving Bentleys than shooting Kalashnikovs at us. And so I say, you know, hey, let's see capitalism corrupt them even further. Maybe they'll become an even better ally of ours, and maybe they will eventually stop the saber rattling. I'm an eternal optimist. I appreciate you listening on WABC in New York City. When I return, another big hour right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Well, we're all talking about the H-bomb now. That's what we're talking about. We don't know whether it's an H-bomb or an A-bomb or whatever, but we do know that North Korea has sent jitters throughout the world, and my opinion is it's China pulling their strings, and it's to cover up what's going on in China right now, because there's no reason for this. Came out of the blue. Why would they do this all of a sudden? Well, the Chinese stock market's in trouble. China is escalating emergency intervention in the stock market. It's a distraction. They've also reorganized, you want to put it to you that way, in other words, rigged their currency. So what has happened as a result? Obama says nothing. North Korea claims it detonates an H-bomb. Even Hillary slams North Korea. And Obama is silent. The day after attacking gun owners, he has nothing to talk about when it comes to H-bomb owners. How's that possible? That's one of the main topics we're talking about on the Savage Nation. And we invite your calls at 855-400-7282. That's 855-400-SAVAGE. And I don't want to talk any more about the gun thing from yesterday, but I do want to play a few things that are important, maybe related to it, maybe not related to it. And that would be Donald Trump on Obama's executive orders in clip number 7. You need to hear this. Go ahead, please.
As far as the executive order that he really is doing, number one, before you even get into the guns, I'm totally Second Amendment and we can't be messing with it. And frankly, if we had situations in California on our military bases, and even in Paris, if they had a couple of guns in the room, you wouldn't have had 130 people killed and many, many people very, very gravely injured. And that includes California. You would have had a much different situation. But as far as the executive order, you're not supposed to be doing it with executive order. You're supposed to get the congressman, get Congress in, negotiate a deal.
All right. As you would expect, Trump respects the Constitution, and he's the opposite of Obama, who doesn't. And we don't have to talk about the gun issue, but it's interesting to me that a day after Obama comes out with this teary-eyed, crazy rambling. It was a rambling Castro-esque escapade that went on forever. It was not thought out. It was emotional. It just went on and on with the tears. And the next day an H-bomb goes off, or an A-bomb, and he has nothing to say. Suddenly he's hiding. Where is he now? Another vacation? Why is he saying nothing? Don't you think that the President of the United States owes the world and the people of America some sign of a spine in leadership instead of a constant attack upon people in the middle class? That's all he does. You know, as I said, we've gone from Teddy Roosevelt, who said, walk softly and carry a big stick, to Obama, who talks loudly and carries a limp stick. He's very tough when it comes to the American middle class, with whom he has no qualms to intimidate at every level. He feels he has absolute power over the American middle class. And he manipulates us and frightens us and scares us. And there's a demographic involved that's pretty clear to anyone who studies it. I don't want to go down that road again and be accused of what I'm not. But when it comes to real bullies, real threats to survival on the planet, he has nothing to say. And what do you have to say about that? Let's take some calls from around the country. Let's hear what you have to say. Internet Marina, welcome to the Savage Nation on line 5. Go ahead, please. Your opinion counts.
I think radical Islam is behind of all this nuclear bomb with Korea. Who is attacking the U.S. right now? Not Korean, not Chinese specifically. Who is bombing Europe and America?
Why would you think it's... Which part of radical Islam encouraged North Korea to do the test?
They need somebody to support them. I think they need to find a coalition against the United States.
Oh, so you're saying that the Sunni leaders of this maniac cult of ISIS is aligning themselves with the terror state of North Korea? Would make sense.
I think that they would go for anything just not to lose the war.
So, in other words, an axis of evil is emerging again, which is a rogue state like North Korea with the insane rapists in ISIS. Who else would be in that coalition of evil? Who else would be in it?
Well, at this point, I would doubt 100% about China, but I think there are people who would support. But, you know, it's a question about China. You can be 100% wrong and 100% right. About China.
So I assume that you are just, I'm not trying to be invasive. Are you from Russia?
Yes, I am.
And the reason I ask is because most Russian people I know are super literate when it comes to politics, having studied their own system for so long. And you are obviously probably, I would say, obsessed with politics, given the background of where you came from, right?
That's why I bought your book recently, and I'm reading.
No, I'm saying, so people who are as obsessed with politics, if not more than I am, have opinions that are very valuable. Well, I don't have to ask you a leading question, as I will. You do agree that this country is going in the wrong direction, don't you?
Absolutely, absolutely, 100%. I'm devastated, and if Trump will win, I will sleep better than ever.
See, we all fear that Obama is doing the exact opposite of what the American people know to be the right thing to do. In fact, we all know it. We don't just think it. We know it. And he's experimenting with systems of governance that were tried and failed in the ex-Soviet Union. Isn't that also correct?
Absolutely. I heard everything he was saying back in Soviet Union in Russia, and I couldn't understand how American people could buy the nonsense he was saying, like we'll build a beautiful future communism. This is his whole agenda was.
And it's frightening. It really is frightening to see how dumb the American electorate is. But, you know, Santayana, the Spanish philosopher, wrote a long time ago, "Those who do not know history are condemned to repeat it." And in this country, that is oh so true, especially when you see the insanity of the media, how they continuously narcotize the people with pornography and violence on a daily basis. And eventually the mind becomes numb, where they don't even care about politics. And then they start to say stupid things such as, oh, they're all the same, oh, it won't make any difference whether Trump wins or anyone else wins, it's all corrupt. That's utter rubbish. It's not true. And the proof is, look what one man can do in the negative. Look what Obama has done in the negative. This is what one man can do in the negative. Can you imagine what one man can do in the positive?
I hope there will have lots of positivity coming after Trump will win. And the other thing is, in 2012, when Obama won, you know, I was only one in my department who voted for Romney, and 15 or 18 were for Obama. That's how they...
What, you mean even even Russian... Are you saying even Russian emigre friends voted for Obama?
Well, yes, they did. They did, and after I spoke with them, and right now...
But why would they do it coming from a Soviet system? Didn't they... Weren't they able to read the tea leaves that Obama was spreading before all of us to see with our own eyes? We knew who he was. He came from a communistic background.
So Russian people bought everything on his Medicare, on his health insurance, and that's...
Oh, that's all? Oh, they wanted the Soviet medical system, and so that's all they cared about. I see what you're saying. So the very things that they fled Russia for,
they thought they could have here piecemeal. In other words, they thought they could have socialized medicine without a socialized government. Is that it?
It's absolutely correct. And right now, I educated several people, and they're waiting for me to tell for whom to vote.
Well, I'll send you a copy of Government Zero to give out to a neighbor and tell him to pass it around the apartment building before the election. Are you calling from the East Coast, by the way?
Actually, I'm in Denver, Colorado. I live in Denver for 20 years almost.
Interesting. Well, I didn't know there was such a large Russian community there, and I wish you well. You're about to celebrate the Russian New Year, aren't you, in a week or so?
Well, yeah, it's a Russian tradition to celebrate New Year.
No, I know. When is the Russian New Year, by the way? I know it's not our New Year. When exactly is it on the Gregorian calendar?
Well, actually, tonight is the Russian Orthodox Christmas.
Really? Oh, I wish that I had some Russian friends in San Francisco. I have to tell you, I was once living in New York, teaching college, and I had Russian friends, and they invited me to a Russian Christmas party. It was so amazing. They cooked geese, they cooked ducks, it was a lot of vodka and a lot of friendship, and it was very warm and very loving, and I certainly wish you a good evening tonight. Thank you for calling. I'll be back in a moment on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or Swiss America.
I think throughout my political career, people have underestimated me. Nobody believes I would have been elected mayor of the city of Burlington. Nobody believes I would have been elected to the United States Congress.
He dropped his accent. He's not even
to get elected
anymore.
To the Senate, I have to defeat the wealthiest guy in the state of Vermont.
Was he taking elocution lessons?
So
what's happened to him?
Don't underestimate the message
this
that we're bringing forth to the American people.
All right, let's drop it. I thought Sanders was still sounding like the real Sanders from Brooklyn. He's changed his elocution. He must be taking lessons from Emily on how to sound like an American. And he's not fun anymore. So he says that Clinton is not the nominee. He said, don't underestimate my message. And then we have Ryan, old Ryan, on North Korea. Yeah. Now, I don't know about Trump playing him. I'd rather have Trump live than to play Trump, you know, canned on the Savage Nation. Which Ryan is this? Rep Ryan? There isn't a gun show loophole. This is a distraction. That was a fake. A little fake from Ryan, the Quisling of our time. This is all standard stuff that I don't think I want to bother you with. And Sanders attacking Wall Street is the standard cry of the communist, you know, that Wall Street's evil. I mean, did they ever think this through? Have they actually thought through what their attacks would lead to? That if they crushed Wall Street, that the entire economy would collapse? Do they have any idea what they're talking about? You know, in my experience with leftists, I find that they're basically poor people, except the real rich ones, who are so different than the poor leftists. But guys like Sanders who shoot their mouth off attacking Wall Street and the billionaire class, they think they're appealing to the poor people of America who are going to rally behind them. It's standard socialist practices. It may work in certain quarters. But basically, everyone in the media is a millionaire, even those who pretend not to be. I mean, that's a reality. They all pretend that they're poor, but they're not. Do you know anyone in the major media who's not wealthy? I don't. I haven't met them yet. So what's this attacking the millionaire and billionaire class? Who do they think they're appealing to? So now you have Sanders in clip 11. It's worth listening to hear how hollow it really is. Number 11, please.
Greed is not good. And here is a New Year's resolution that I will keep if elected president, and that is, if Wall Street does not end its greed, we will end it for them.
Oh, what a little demagogue. My God, a little petty Stalin there. Like a petty Lenin, like a little Lenin, a mini Lenin, a mini me Lenin. Classic, the same type that overthrew the Tsar in Russia. That's all. He'd like to start a revolution. He still thinks the Beatles are alive and well, and he's leading the Yellow Submarine. 855-400-7282. What do we got there on the callers? You're open to callers, one or two open lines. Let's go look at WMAL in Washington. Reuben, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, I'll make this as quick as I can. You and I and all of your listeners are witnessing the introduction of a new era, you know, the likes of which have never been seen before, and that's tyranny in an information age. What the United States has been doing is building a system. This is for decades now. They've been building a system of control. And years ago, they've started to store all this data. Now they've stockpiled information on hundreds of millions of citizens. Since then, they've been, as you've talked about many times on your show, defining what speech and rhetoric is derogatory and threatening or by any means incriminating. They'll then apply this to this massive amount of information on all of its citizens. And I'm not just talking about criminal information. I'm talking about any type of, you know, social media posts, purchases, anything that can be used against someone. And what this has been essentially...
So you're saying, Reuben, you're saying that the metadata is going to be used to control the populations around the world?
Think of all of the, or at least in the United States.
Well, we don't need metadata to see that we have a lunatic running North Korea. How come they're not controlling him?
I think it's much more in their interest to control their own people. So
in other words, the threat from a hydrogen bomb is good for the elites that run the world. It scares everyone. Is that it? And now we need Obama to save us from Kim Jong mentally ill?
Obama will not save us from Kim Jong mentally, from Lil Kim, as he's known, because Obama is not a part of the solution. This administration and others before it.
All right. Look, I don't know what to say about that, Reuben. I can't even respond to it. I know this, that Christmas Eve tonight around the world, for millions of Orthodox Christians across the globe, not just Russians. Do you know that tonight is Christmas Eve for millions of Orthodox Christians across the globe? And those who have not yet done so, they're getting ready for one of their major holidays celebrated on January 7th, Christmas. And in Moscow, believers have gathered for the Christmas Eve service in the iconic Christ the Savior Cathedral despite the biting cold, which, as you know, is one of the reasons that the American left hates Russia. This is an ironic situation that you have to understand what's going on here. You would think the American left would still be in love with Russia. But the reason they're not in love with Russia is because Russia is no longer an atheist nation. Russia is more of a free capitalist state in some ways than is America. And Russia is certainly more of a Christian nation than is Obama's America, which is more of an atheist / Islamist nation than ever imaginable. And that's why Russia is hated by the elites in Obama's Red Guard. They're diehard old line communists. Isn't that an irony? It is your favorite radio show, The Savage Nation. So if you care to join the favorite show of the time slot that I'm in, you call us at 855-407-282. If I sound a little tired, it's because I am. I admit it, I'm very tired right now. I've had an extremely long day after a very long weekend and a very long month and a very long year. And frankly, I think I need a vacation. Now, I generally take a vacation after everyone comes back and both the resorts and highways are empty. I have to take a couple of days. I think 2015 is catching up with me, or I'm on another calendar. I don't know what calendar I'm on, but I feel like I'm at the end of the year, not at the beginning of a year. I don't know about you. I mean, you know, I'm really ready for a good week off now, which I cannot take because the news is crazy. I mean, with the hydrogen bomb and the gun grabbers and this and that, and people are worried. And, you know, if you're used to a certain show, you have to provide something for the people. Barracks Bunk, a civilian intruder, lived and ate undetected at Fort Bragg. And now people are asking, is the Pentagon turning Fort Hood into a daycare center? Interesting. Very, very interesting. WABC, Sean, thanks for holding from New York City. Go ahead, please.
I have a quick little look-see into the North Korean thing. They do stuff for money. And recently, there's been a windfall of cash since the nuclear deal in Iran. Maybe an order was put in. Yeah, the Chinese might be pulling some strings, just a, you know, little distraction because of what they're doing in the South China Sea. But the next step in nuclear development is miniaturization, to build a bigger, better bomb. We've seen that in history. Now, the Iranians aren't going to hit us with ICBMs. That's been tried. I mean, the standoff between us and the Soviet Union during the Cold War. They want something small. And that's what the Koreans are doing. You can't hide an H-bomb test. And they know that. So they have to, you know, their ego is at stake. They have to, you know, bolster to the world that they're this advanced nation and, you know, join the big club of, you know, real nations. They're just looking to market the stuff. And there's plenty of...
Who? Are you saying North Korea is using the new claim as an advertising ploy?
No, I think that they can't hide the fact that they went that far in the next step of development. And what they're doing is they have to own up to it. You know, the seismographs show that something major happened. You know, I mean...
Yeah, it was a six-kiloton explosion, which would be a small nuke. I mean, enough to devastate a city in America or anywhere else. But it was still not a hydrogen bomb level. We understand that. But you're saying it was if it was a miniaturized nuclear device, that's saleable? Is that what you're saying?
Sure. The trigger, it's the trigger for the fusion bomb. You need a fission explosion to explode the fusion.
A fusion bomb. I understand that. And as a caller said 2 hours ago, a miniaturized bomb, nuclear bomb, could fit inside a thermos bottle. That's really worrisome, isn't it?
Sure it is. Sure it is. And that's the new way of warfare. It's not the way it was back in the 50s.
Well, isn't that great? The world's out of control and the president says nothing today. That says everything. That even Hillary Clinton comes out and chastises North Korea for this insanity. And the president who shot his mouth off yesterday, which seemed like a Raul Castro moment, on and on and on with the weeping and the crying and the leaning over the podium, has nothing to say about North Korea. Why is that?
Because he's not going to take on something major. You saw what he did with the Syrian red line. You see how he treats the Crimean crisis.
So in other words, he's a real hero when it comes to beating up the American middle class, who he threatens virtually on a regular basis. But when it comes to real dictatorships, he's nowhere to be found.
He's a community organizer. You said it yourself. And he is. He can only...
Well, yeah, just back from vacation, the first thing he does is attack the white, middle-class, heterosexual Christian gun owner. That's who he was attacking yesterday. You didn't hear any outcry from the projects about gun control, did you? Because they're never going to be affected by a gun seizure or by gun laws because they're lawless, fundamentally. The gangs are running in a lawless set of communities across America. They're not concerned with his little tepid attacks upon the Second Amendment because it doesn't apply to them.
Well, who's to suffer? It's the person who is a legitimate person in society who is exercising their right to, say, have a gun, okay? And
I don't want to go down the gun road. Are you a gun owner?
Yes, I am.
And you live in or outside of New York City?
I live in Brooklyn, New York.
Are you allowed to own a pistol in New York?
No, I didn't say pistol. It's a long gun. I cannot own a pistol, and I'll tell you why. Because I've tried to get the permit. It's very prohibitive. It's 1 day a week where you can go down and apply for it. It's over $400, and you don't get a refund if you get denied. You have to show cause, whether you're...
You know, when I grew up in New York City, there was a thing called the Sullivan Law. Do you recall that at all?
Yes, I do.
Okay, the Sullivan Law prohibited the use of handguns by anyone except police and a few very specialized individuals, probably off-duty, I would say detectives and whatnot. That's an interesting law unto itself. Do you think everyone should be allowed to own a handgun in New York City?
I think someone who is law-abiding, who doesn't have a felonious record or domestic violence, like, you know, obviously mental health issues, I think it would be safer in New York. I've been on the subway. That's how I get to work. And I sometimes think to myself when there's someone on the train who's a little out of their mind, not that I want to shoot anyone. That's the last thing I think a response.
Well, you see, here's the problem. You got to understand, if you ever did use that pistol in self-defense in a subway, you'd lose no matter what you did. You know that, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I've lived here my whole life. I know that very well.
The courts would crucify you if you shot a madman on the subway. They'd claim that he was no threat to you. He wasn't posing an imminent threat to your life. You had no right to be a policeman. Even if you said you were defending a poor woman who he was molesting, you would have the book thrown at you. You know that, don't you?
Sure. And you know it even more because you're in San Francisco and you're from here. So you know it even
well. I know it from both sides, and I've often analyzed what I would do if, God forbid, I were in such a situation. I have to tell you, I wouldn't be John Wayne. I would not be John Wayne. You know, a lot of guys say, oh, if I had a gun, I'd be John Wayne. They wouldn't be John Wayne. Be smarter if they weren't John Wayne with their gun. Now, that's not to say that you shouldn't be able to defend yourself within your home or within your vehicle. That's a little different, isn't it? If you study the laws on self-defense and on using a weapon in self-defense, they're very clear. You know and I know you have to be in imminent danger of bodily harm. You know that, don't you?
Yes.
No, how do you define that? How do you prove you're in imminent danger of bodily harm? What, did you perceive it to be so? Or can you prove it? Was the man larger than you or smaller than you? Was he younger than you or older than you? That wouldn't even matter if he had no weapon. Do you know that? Let's say it's a young man, 6'5", who's punching you, and you're 5'6", and you have a gun. That doesn't mean that you have to use the gun. According to the idiot liberals in the courts, they would say he had no gun and you did and you killed him. That's how the law is. It's insane. By the way, I've studied this in and out. It's a no-win situation, which is a problem for gun owners, by the way. It's a bigger problem than what Obama did yesterday.
Well, what he has is an agenda, and we all know what that is. Okay?
Yeah, we know what the agenda is, right? A completely docile, paralyzed electorate that he can manipulate any which way he wants on a daily basis. My friend, I am sending you a New Year's present, Government Zero. I'll be back in a minute to take your calls right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2640. Absolutely obvious to anyone, even on the liberal side who has a fair mind, that America's credibility has disintegrated in world affairs under this community organizer. The fact of the matter is, look at what Iran is doing. Look at what North Korea is doing. If this is not an indicator of the disintegration of American credibility on the world stage, I'd like to know what would be. And yet, the left will not acknowledge it. They're committed forever to Chairman Mao Zedong. They don't care about Iran. They don't care about North Korea. The American left cares very, very little about anything except their very myopic, narrow-banded agenda on the domestic front. And they are dictating what goes on in the White House, in my opinion. Now, never forget that Obama repeatedly assured us, we the citizens, that although the United States was handing over $150 billion in sanctions relief to Iran under his alleged deal, that he would not hesitate to sanction Iran for its violation of any other obligations, but he hasn't done so. Obama reassured us that should Iran violate the nuclear deal itself, the sanctions that were imposed against it for racing to acquire nuclear weapons would snap back. Remember that? Remember him and Kerry lied over and over again about snapback? I didn't believe those assurances then. Do you still believe them now? Do you believe it now? You know that he lies about everything. Iran's ballistic missile program now poses a significant threat to regional and global security. This is a clear fact, and yet nothing has happened from the White House. The White House has not announced any new sanctions. None. In fact, last Wednesday at 10:30 a.m., the White House said that sanctions would be imposed on Iranians involved in these sanctions. And then what happened? At 11:12 a.m., the White House sent word that its announcement would be delayed for a few hours. And then at 10 p.m. the same day, the White House said that sanctions would be delayed indefinitely. And then by Friday, the White House was saying that it was still thinking about it. What is causing the White House to reverse its position on Iran? Does anyone really know? Does anyone really know who's running this country? We know that the Obama administration is certainly not running this country. Let's go to the callers. KBET in Las Vegas. Ivan, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Yes, Michael. Just wanted to kind of debunk the myth that everybody from the Eastern Bloc is a hardworking person that comes here to the American dream. I can guarantee you 90% plus of them are just here to scam the system. Look at the way it is. They're just lazy, Michael. Look at the Eastern Bloc. After all this time, they still looks like a ghetto from Brooklyn, for God's sake. The people, once they taste communism, that they get free stuff, they will never go back to work. It's no different than the people in welfare.
And it's no different for them here. Look, I know this from 20 years ago. I have a friend who's a urologist, I shall say, in a big city in America. And a large number of his community consists of Russian emigres. He told me stories of abuse that would make your head roll. He said they came here from the Soviet Union, and many of them brought the same corruption that they ran away from and then imposed it upon America, and they're sucking the system dry. That's what he said to me. So, I mean, it's not new to me. I don't see them as great upstanding Americans who are working hard to advance themselves and love America. Not at all. They ran from the Soviet Union, and they have hit the jackpot. Everything that Papa Stalin promised their grandfather and never delivered, Uncle Sam is delivering on a silver platter, and they're giving nothing back. That's what he said to me.
You're absolutely right, Michael. My own father, we defected, you know, in 1981, and first of all, we went to Canada. And all of a sudden, I started realizing, wait a second, they just take all this money from nothing from me, and my father was perfectly happy to do nothing. They give you, like, a free apartment, free utensils even. And I said, this is not for me. I didn't run away from communism to become here more communism. It was just...
No, you're right. But America did the same thing. When I saw the Russian emigres coming here and being put ahead of the American citizen for positions in the university, that's when I knew something was so wrong with the system. And it's not gotten any better. It's gotten much worse. So, yes, I agree that in all ethnic groups and in all immigrant groups, there are those who come here to abuse the system, not to work within the system. They work the system instead. Now, you yourself came from Canada, and what I assume you built a life for yourself, correct?
Yes, Michael.
No, what is it that you what do you do, Ivan? What's your living?
Well, I have a couple of companies. I'm in the entertainment business. And like I said, it's a hard work. People are not willing to put the hard work. And not only that, it kind of makes me very upset when they put, like, again, the Stalin, you know, rich against poor, the bourgeoisie and the proletariat. It's a nonsense, you know. Try to open your own business and do the right thing the right way. This is a lot harder than going scamming the business, I tell you.
Well, we know that. It is very hard to do things the right way in America. It's harder than anyone could imagine. And for that reason, sometimes you don't even doubt why people take the easy way out. But really, how much can you really live on handouts or welfare in America? You really can't live very well, Ivan. You know that if you want to lead a decent life, you have to work for it here. Yeah, maybe they're scamming, and some of them are really rich in their scams. But the majority of people who are living on welfare or free housing and a this and a food stamp and a little black market here, they're not living that well, are they?
They're not living well at all, but you know what? It beats going to work.
Yeah, okay, and it beats what they would have had in the ex-Soviet Union, which is their model. It's not the current Russia either. They probably wouldn't do very well in the current Russia either, would they?
They will not, but the bottom line is the tummy is full and nothing. That's it. That's why you see the Eastern Bloc people. They always have, like, the gold chain and all the other stuff. Because when I was growing up, you cannot own anything. You cannot work. So all the valuable possessions to show that you're rich, you can wear it on you. That's all you have. Everybody lives in the same apartment.
You're not talking about Brooklyn, are you? Because that's what it looks like in Brooklyn to me right now. They wear it on their bodies.
That's it.
It's like, you know, it's like the real housewives of Brooklyn seem to wear it on their bodies. No, but my point is this. Yes, you can live in America pretty poorly on welfare and food stamps and scams and a little black market and a little, but you're not going to do that well. If you really want to do well, you still have to work very hard and build something, don't you? Or provide a service or be a performer. You have to do something to get ahead and really live well. You can't live a large life on the bottom of the social scale on welfare. Ivan, thank you for calling. I'm sending you Government Zero for your entertainment business. I almost asked you what kind of entertainment it is you provide, but that's your business, not mine. I like the entertainment business because, frankly, I wish that more of my radio show was about entertainment instead of agony. Unfortunately, in the world that we're living, it's going to be harder and harder in 2016 to entertain you than it will be to antagonize you with the reality of the times we're living in. That's it for today. Thanks for listening to The Savage Nation. Hope to see you tomorrow on the very same station. Good night and God bless America.